So, Aaron Elizabeth, we meet again.
I know. Great to see
you. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, you know, one of the things that you've shared with me in the past is your story, your personal story of being injured by vaccines.
Yes.
And so I'd like to kind of delve into that story a little bit more today and get some details going all the way back to the time when you were 3 months old. So.
Sure. Yeah, it was 1971 in January, and I had a cold, but the doctor, of course, the pediatrician back then, so that was not a problem at all. And it was at least the DPT shot that we did then. And just to give you a quick back history, I was adopted. So my parents had adopted me just a month before that. And I had been born very sick with thrush and actually had to stay in a hospital for 2 months. So I'm sure things like that don't help. My birth mother had given me up. She'd actually had... it was just before Roe versus Wade, so it was still illegal for abortion. So my birth father sent her to have an abortion, and she did. And I had survived whatever they did. They put her under general or survived the procedure. But so it was, yeah, a miracle that then she found out on Easter Sunday that she was still pregnant and still could have gone through with it, but decided this was meant to be. So she had me and placed me for adoption. And my parents are wonderful, still married. And back in 71, they took me in for my DPT, and we think that's the main shot that I had at that time. And within hours, I began seizing. My fever was 104, which lasted a week. So,
wow.
Yeah, and what the doctors were thinking was they were worried about encephalitis, but looking back, we probably think that I did have encephalitis. And I was brought into the hospital, and they had to restrain me. There's different, I'm never sure if I've heard straitjacket or restraints or different measures that they used in order to do that spinal tap, because they were checking for spinal meningitis. That was the initial thought, because of course at the beginning they don't want to connect it with the vaccines I just had hours ago. You know, it must be spinal meningitis.
So they look every other place other than the obvious.
Right? Yes. But even eventually the pediatrician then would check for my neck, because he said, I think she might, you know, have that rare bad reaction, and it looks like I did. And I was really fortunate. After a week, I believe they even were bringing the priest in, because the fever didn't break and they were concerned. I was vomiting along with the seizing, and when you go a week that long with that high of a fever, I don't think that can be beneficial for the brain.
It's got to be real. About that. Yeah, that's got to be bad.
Detrimental. And so after a week, it was really kind of like another miracle, like the just a few months before, where the fever, I was vomiting, seizing, hospitalized. They did the spinal tap. It was normal. But then suddenly the fever broke and the vomiting stopped. And it was just, I was really one of the lucky ones.
You're a miracle baby.
Yeah. That's what they said back then. And I was so fortunate that I really consider myself one of the lucky ones, even though I had an array of allergies and was on antibiotics so much of my life, I think because they mistook the allergies for upper respiratory infection, but I was allergic to so much, and just my immune system wasn't as strong as some of my peers around me, or maybe stronger kids, or maybe they had fewer vaccinations. Growing up in the 70s, we actually had some of the hippies who didn't vaccinate back then. It was kind of that mentality where some didn't. And the few friends I had who weren't vaccinated were the healthiest of all. They didn't have colds. They weren't sick. They were eating their organic granola and healthy as can be. But I don't want my parents to feel guilty. They are still pro-vaccine, although I think they're opening their eyes to these things. Mm-hmm. I think that they... But I never want them to feel any kind of guilt or anything. But it's just they were doing what the pediatrician told them. And, I probably have a little ADHD. We've talked with Barb Lo Fisher from NVIC, and she says that with her son also having the DPT vaccine injury, that's kind of some of the things he experiences. But honestly, I'm probably one of the more fortunate ones compared to some children who are left nonverbal or in, you know, a lot worse, lot worse shape. So,
You know, you mentioned something, Aaron. You said that maybe it was that rare bad reaction, right? But isn't it odd though that probably everybody that's watching this knows somebody that has a kid that had that rare bad reaction? It's not really all that rare, is it?
No, it's not. I have every day I will receive emails, because I will be outspoken like you guys on vaccinations, and they'll say, my child had this, whether it be of course, yeah, we see predominantly Gardasil, or we'll see even MMR or a flu shot, but even some of the shots like DPT or ones that you wouldn't think would be as controversial, we'll see those very bad reactions, or sometimes the child doesn't make it at all. And like we talked about with SIDS, where they had the shots 13 hours before and then they died, but that's SIDS, and if they're injured, then that's rare. Yet, like you said, it's really a lot more prevalent than people realize.
Right, right. I think it's very pervasive. And even if it were rare, which it's not, but if it were, if that's your kid, does it really matter?
Right.
If your kid's injured, it doesn't matter if it's rare or not. That's your child.
Yes,
And so I think that's a lot of times that's overlooked in the mix.
Yeah.
Is that these are people.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not statistics.
Right. Yes, that's what's so important to remember. And I think it's, again, Barb Lofisher, NVIC, or one of those who said, the vaccine injury, you can say it's rare, but when it's your child, it's 100%.
It's 100%.
And that's what I think more and more people are realizing. And I've even seen some of the skeptics say, oh my gosh, they said all you vaccine, you know, or they call them anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. It seems like all you think you've had some vaccine injury. Well, yeah, hello. Nobody just woke up really one day and said, you know, most people, some have done their research, but say, hey, I'm anti-vax today. Usually they've had a personal experience so there's so many parents out there and children that are hurting as a result of this.
Yeah, and isn't it strange the way that if you actually do begin to just question vaccines, want to read more research, that you're immediately labeled as anti-science, anti-vaxxer, I mean, just all kinds of pejorative names. When the reality is, when you mention the DPT vaccine, if you look at the Tripedia vaccine, which is the Sanofi Pasteur version of the DPT, right, on the actual package inserts, it lists possible side effects as autism and anaphylactic shock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it lists it on the insert,
right,
that it may cause autism, anaphylactic shock, and another dozen side effects. But if you actually say, my kid got anaphylactic shock, then you're somehow a conspiracy theorist now.
I know. Even
but it's on the insert.
On those inserts, yeah. And we see VAERS or the courts paying, since we can't sue the vaccine manufacturer, of course, that was passed at, what, an 86, thank you, yes. Then you have people that are able to go to the courts, and they uses our tax dollars, which is understandable, so they can get some kind of recourse for their child being mm-hmm. injured. So, yeah, and they say right then, okay, the child, they won't want to maybe use the word brain or autism, but they'll say they were brain damaged. Mm-hmm. But yet people, if we say things like that, we're anti-science.
Yeah.
And, you know,
quack.
Quacks.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's odd. It really is odd that that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is that the popular mantra is that vaccines are safe and effective, right? I mean, most people on the street, they're safe and effective, right? The pediatrician use them, must be safe and effective. But we've seen over $3 billion paid out from that fund for damage that was caused by the vaccines.
Yeah.
So they're not all that safe.
Right. Yes, the scientific proof is there when these courts are awarding that money, and not to mention, like you said, the vaccine insert. So it's hard. It's I think more and more people are coming around, and unfortunately with the vaccine schedule being so much more than when we were kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's outrageous. They have a vaccine for everything. So I think more and more parents open their eyes because they're doing more and more vaccines on these rigorous schedules, and they are seeing injuries in their children and coming around to see that, wow, my child can't eat this, or they've got asthma or ADHD or even worse.
Yeah.
So parents are coming around, so that's a good thing.
I think it is. I think that what the things that we're doing, the truth that we're spreading, these initiatives that we're involved with to just get the word out to people, I think we are making a difference.
Yeah.
And I think that people's minds are being changed.
Yes.
People are being educated.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's very important. We got a lot more work to do.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
we're getting there.
Yeah, it's a long road, but look at so many other things, even with smoking, how many years that took. And you still see smokers, but I mean, just not that many years ago where doctors said it was safe or even maybe helped you relax. Right.
So. I've seen the pictures of the old magazines that said a pack a day keeps lung cancer away.
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, it was insane. It was absurd.
And it wasn't that long ago, really. So it's amazing. I hope, I like to be optimistic and think that since we've had such huge changes since then, that perhaps in 50 years, everything will be changed. And hopefully people will look back and say, wow, what were we doing? But now we've changed it. And
Can you believe we used to inject children with mercury, formaldehyde, and aluminum? Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
That would be nice to be able to look back and say, wow, we're out of that era. Yeah.
Yes, that was a dark era, and we've moved forward and changed our thinking. So I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Now, if you had an infant child, would you ever vaccinate?
I can't imagine that I would, especially with the fact that I was vaccine injured, and I know my birth mother now. I found her, and we have, you know, we are close. I'm very fortunate, and she's, I think, just may have. I think that you can be more predisposed to it, so she may have be more predisposed. To some of these things. So if I were to have a child, even if I were healthy as a horse and had a child, I just can't imagine doing so. I think there may be some of the homeopathic vaccinations, but all I know is that the people, time and time again, who I see who do not vaccinate their children are the healthiest, some of the healthiest kids I meet. You know, you always just, that are not vaccinated, they're as healthy as can be. So yeah, it just only makes sense that I would not do it.
Right.
So, yeah.
And we do what we know.
Right.
To that level of education, I shared with Dr. Mercola, we vaccinated Brianna and Bryce. We didn't know.
Right.
Once we learned, we stopped.
Right.
So you know, you can't look back and have regrets on what happened at that time. That's you make decisions based upon your level of knowledge. And now that's why I think what we're doing here is so important, is because now we're going to be empowering people with more knowledge about vaccines so they can make a better choice.
Oh, yeah. And also what's interesting, I saw today just on the news feed for 2 seconds, they had a front page in the newspaper saying it's time for you adults to get vaccinated. And that's a good point you make. But they're saying it's time for adults to get revaccinated, because the problem is those shots that we had when we were kids wear off. Whereas my mom or my birth mom or my dad, he forgot having the measles, but his sister confirmed it. They all had the measles. My mom even had scarlet fever, but they're so healthy because they built up this natural immunity. So, and they all survived it. My parents, my grandparents. Yeah. And it's amazing that I think not only, it's not like it's a lifetime, not only are the vaccines, it can be and found to be dangerous, but or can be deadly, but then they wear off. And then I wonder what's going to happen with this next generation. Will people at 50 or 60, then if they get the measles, what happens? I think that nature, God, or however you want to look at it, intended that was supposed to happen went to a child, like chickenpox. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the fear out there of chickenpox. You know, we all had chicken pox, but
we had chicken pox parties where we would get, they would take kids and expose them all to a chicken pox, so then they would develop a natural immunity to it.
And I can't believe that I see people on there saying, you know, if my child can, I will, you know, I will sue if they come in a child that has a chicken pox. I'm deathly afraid of chicken pox. I don't want my child to die. I mean, this has become like this mass hysteria.
It really is hysteria.
Yeah, even chicken pox.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
It really is. Erin, it's so good to talk to you today. Thank you for sharing your personal story, and thank you for what you're doing. Keep spreading the truth. We'll do the same.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Please do. Yeah. Honored to be here.